Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. I haven't spoken to those of you who listened to the show since last year. This is the first show of 2013, and it's an exciting show. During the first hour, we'll be talking with Liare Keith about her book, The Vegetarian Myth. This is a very, very important discussion. And then later in the show, we'll be joined by Lou Schuler, and we're going to be talking about the New Rules of Lifting Supercharged, which is their new edition of an older book that many of you have grown to love, and it's better than ever. So let's get right into it. We welcome Liare Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's actually my pleasure. It really is. This is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. And you know, rightfully so, as you describe in your book, when you spoke to a fellow who was a vegetarian and you started to pose some of these intelligent questions that you pose in your book that makes people think, instead of replying in the fashion you thought he would, he just said no and walked away. Like, no, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to think about it. And just putting this up on Facebook this morning, I've already gotten messages from people. This is a very polarizing issue, isn't it?
It is. And I think one of the reasons is because, I mean, I say this from experience. I did it for 20 years, and I wasn't just a vegetarian. I was a vegan. But it becomes your identity. You know, it's something that people, they take it into themselves so profoundly. It's not just what you eat. It becomes who you are. And therefore, any information that is counter to your belief system, it feels like it's a threat to your identity, to your very survival. And so you get into these, you know, real knockdown, drag-out fights with people. Whereas, you know, in any other arena, you could just sit and discuss things amicably and maybe agree to disagree. But on this issue, it really, like you say, it just tends to polarize, and people take it so personally. You know, it's not just what you eat. It really becomes who you are.
What I really like that you did, which had to be exhausting for you, because so many of us simply discuss this issue on the pure value of nutrition and physiology and biology, and that's where it's a hard argument to make, because there are people out there who are suffering to be vegetarians, and they're saying, "Look, I've been a vegetarian for 30 years, and I'm fine." But they're really not. But as you said, once you make an emotional connection to a way of life, whatever that discipline is, bodybuilding, anything, you throw all sensibility, you throw thinking skills out the window, because you've so emotionally invested that you can't challenge any. Because then you have to admit the past X amount of years you were all wrong about this, and so, you know, it's an amazing thing what you've done, because you've taken this argument to a level that I really have been waiting for someone to do. And so I want to talk about that first. A little bit later in the interview, we're going to talk about your personal journey as a vegetarian, and we'll talk about some of the nutritional facts and fallacies about being a vegetarian. But first, I want to talk about the moral virgin of vegetarians out there. Because that's the strongest argument. I have a good friend, Mike Mahler, whose mom is from India, and he is a vegetarian because he feels spiritually that it's better for animals not to exploit them. But start with that and explain some of the topics that you discussed that shows that that's not really accurate, is it?
No, and I always like to start this discussion by saying that the moral underpinning, the ethical framework that underlies that vegetarian ethic, that is not at issue. So the values of compassion and sustainability and justice and anything that questions human entitlement or human hubris, those are the only values that are going to get us to the world that we all want. And indeed, it's the motivating ethic of my life, and it always has been. And it's certainly one of the main reasons that I decided to become a vegan. So those values are not at issue. So we can just set that aside. We all agree that those are the issues, that those are the ethics that really should inform our society and our interactions with each other. We've got that part right. So we don't need to discuss whether, in fact, that's good or bad. I think we can all agree that's the world we want. So then the question becomes, what are the best ways to embody those values? How do we put that into practice in our real lives? Now, for a lot of people, it becomes very simple. If they look at their dinner plate, and if there's a dead animal on it, they say, okay, well, something died for me to have this food, and I don't want to participate in that. And I understand that, you know, that sort of reaction, because it's very black and white. It's sitting there on your plate. The problem is that the question is way bigger, and that bigger question is, what died to get this food onto my plate? It's not just what's actually dead on my plate. It's what actually died to provide this meal for me.
I love
and
this.
If you're talking about agricultural foods, which is the foods that vegans eat, the answer is the entire planet, because agriculture is the single most destructive human activity. We have skinned the planet alive by doing this for 10,000 years. We've destroyed 98% of the old growth forests, and 99% of the planet's grasslands have been destroyed in the service of agriculture. It's agricultural societies that do that destruction. And so it's a way bigger question than what's dead on my plate. It's what are we destroying to get this food? And that is the question that nobody in this culture seems to want to ask, partly because, you know, if we come from an agricultural society, which is pretty much everybody now on the planet, you know, it's like questioning air or God or, you know, the fish in the water doesn't question the water kind of thing. It's the society that we live in. It's the basis for this culture. And so there's almost nobody out there who's willing to actually put agriculture on the table as an activity that we could question. We are going to have to do that because we're out of soil. But, you know, it's just a huge, huge perspective that is just completely lacking. I mean, even most environmentalists don't even identify it as a problem. And I'll repeat again, it's the single most destructive human activity. It's the worst thing we've done to the planet.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. So agriculture has, if at least, displaced and destroyed the homes, the natural habitats of many of the animals on this planet, right?
Yeah, it's mass extinction. I mean, that's what agriculture is. So, you know, in really brute terms, you have to understand what this activity consists of. It means you take a piece of land and you clear every living thing off it. And I mean down to the bacteria. So the plants, the animals, everything has to go. And then once you've cleared that land, you plant it to human use. So corn or wheat or soy or, you know, whatever that crop is, the land has to be cleared to plant those annual seeds. So then year after year, you keep planting those crops. Every year you have less soil because the soil is not protected. The only thing that builds topsoil are perennial plants, so either trees or perennial grasses. And in order to do agriculture, of course, you've got to clear all of them off. And I mean, if you've ever had a garden, you know what that's like. You have to keep fighting the grass because it keeps invading your garden. And put that on a broad scale around the planet, that's what agriculture is. So it's meant mass extinction. And at this point, I mean, the statistics are very grim. We're losing 200 species every single day to this mass extinction.
I want to stay with this for a second, because I want to go back to something you said that's really critically important. So those of the listeners out there who are vegetarians, for spiritual / moral reasons, while the animal may not be laying dead on their plate, the animal is no less dying as a result of their choices.
Correct. And then you can even look on a smaller scale. So here's this field to which you've planted, you know, corn or wheat or whatever. And every time you come through there with a combine, you're killing anywhere from, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 animals per acre. And this would be tiny little mammals that are still able to exist in a monocrop. There aren't very many animals that can, but things like mice, for instance. And, you know, you can kill hundreds or even thousands of them in a 1 acre, you know, and they're just being ground up. And so also you've got ground nesting birds, you've got reptiles, snakes, those kinds of creatures. Anybody who works on a farm can tell you the amount of death that is just passing through every time, you know, that you harvest.
In your experience, have you found when you have the discussion with vegetarians that they draw the line on what species, what level of life they're willing to protect? Well, do they go, well, these are mice, you know, they're not deer or something like that?
Sometimes the discussion goes there. Other times, there'll be a question of the intent. Well, my intent is not to kill anything, and that's kind of collateral damage, so it doesn't count. And I think a lot of that is just sort of playing fast and loose with their own emotional turmoil about this new information. Because I know how I felt when people told me this, and it was unbearable to me. Because, you know, I thought I had discovered this incredible thing that I could live without death.
This harmony, this harmonious possible. Way of life. And that's what I think this harmony where I'm not exploiting or killing anything, and they're not exploiting and killing me, and everyone can coexist. It's all about coexistion.
Yeah, and I mean, the reality is, and this was a very, very hard lesson for me to accept, but for something to live, something else has to die. That is the basic equation of being in a physical body. And I rejected that for 20 years. I kept thinking there had to be a way around it, and, you know, eating nonviolent brown rice or something was the way.
Nonviolent
I had no
brown
idea.
Rice.
Well, that's what I thought of it as. Like, this was this perfect, wonderful, peaceful, you know, loving food that was all about compassion. And then when you find out how rice is actually produced, it's like massive ecosystem disruption.
Well, I want to get into that. I want to take a commercial break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to get deeper into this. This discussion is going to piss a lot of people off, but you got to hear it. Because for those of you who are choosing to be vegetarians or vegans because you feel that it's better for the planet, better for the animals, you're wrong. Find a different reason. We're talking with Lierre Keith. The book is The Vegetarian Myth. You can get it by going to her website, and it's LIERREKEITH.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
BioAdvantex Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high-intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantex PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner. Ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it. It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Age Force Multivitamin Patch banner ad today. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Liare Keith about her book, The Vegetarian Myth. And I promise you, this discussion is going to really make you go, For those of you out there who choose to be vegetarians for moral or political reasons, you're going to find out that there's a lot of holes in that bucket. Okay, so something that I learned growing up, a young Italian boy with a grandfather from Italy who had a beautiful garden every single year in his backyard. And every year my grandfather, before the planting season, would go to the local fish market and buy all the heads, tails, entrails, bones, scales, and everything and bring them home in a big burlap bag, actually several burlap bags, and spread them around his garden after he turned the soil. And he told me that this is what makes the earth rich so that we have good vegetables. So for those of you out there that applying the vegetarian approach to life because you don't want to hurt animals, guess what needs to be absorbed in the soil? Liare, you talk about this in your book, and it's something I totally forgot about as part of the equation. But the soil wants dead bodies, doesn't it?
That's what animals and dead plants.
I'm sorry, you broke up there for a second. Say that again?
Uh-oh.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yes, that's what soil is, in fact. It's dead animals that are acted upon by bacteria and other detritivores to make the nutrients available again. But that's literally what soil is.
And you wrestled with this because you started to look for fertilizer and plant food, and what you came to find out was it was either petroleum-based or animal-based, right?
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing that you've got to apply to the soil is, of course, nitrogen. And, you know, you can either get that from blood and bone meal, or you can get it from oil and gas. And I was horrified.
Well,
I couldn't believe that was, here was my beautiful nonviolent way of life, and that's what it came down to.
Well, and oil and gas is nothing more, as we assume, that it's nothing more that it's than decomposed, you know, carcasses that have laid in the earth for millions of years, right?
Yes, ultimately it's just dead things that have been there a long time and, you know, been compressed and whatnot. So either way, you're just recirculating death back into life, and that's what life is that continuous process. And I understand this impulse to not want to hurt animals. I think it's absolutely a value that, you know, we need to have in this culture and that, you know, has been lost to us. But we also need to accept just the basic facts that every single living creature needs other things to die in order for its life to continue.
Well,
and really the only choices we have, and this is the way I look at it, the only choices we have, we can participate in the death that's part of that cycle, or we can participate in the death that's killing that cycle. And those are really our only choices. There's not actually any way out.
Did you have a hard time coming to that? Well, first of all, let's bridge a little bit of other information. So you were a vegetarian. No, you were a vegan. For 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Tell me how you felt being a vegan. In the beginning, when you first turned to veganism, did you feel just an abundantly healthy sensation from it?
No, I can't say that I did. I think that giving up, because I was never a junk food vegan, so I also gave up white sugar and a bunch of stuff like that. Like, so a lot of junk food went right out of my diet, and I think that does help some people. I have to say that almost immediately I started to get hypoglycemic attacks, but I didn't know that's what it was called. I just knew that I felt like I was going to die if I didn't put food in my mouth really quickly. And that, of course, only gets worse and worse. The longer you eat those high-carb diets, you know, the more you're going to burn through your insulin receptors. So I didn't really get that flush of, you know, health that many people do experience for the first year or two. But I felt like I was doing the right thing, and I so believed in what I was doing that I completely overrode every physical signal that my body was sending me about,
really?
You know, the fact that this wasn't working. Yeah, and then, of course, it only got worse. But, you know, it became so entrenched as a part of my identity that I couldn't, there was no way back for me, you know, until I had done such catastrophic damage that there was really no choice left.
What kind of damage? What kind of damage did you do over the 20 years to your yourself?
God. Well, it was the main thing is I have degenerative disc disease, so my spine started falling apart, and I was only 18 years old when that started, and the doctors were completely mystified. It's like, you know, your spine looks like you fell out of an airplane. I mean, how is this possible in somebody this young? And nobody thought to question my diet, of course. It's not something the doctors know to do, and I never put it together until much later. So it was just this very odd and very tragic thing in my life that I, you know, was going to have this degenerative disease for no reason that anybody could figure out. Usually you get that from being in a car accident or something. And, you know, once you injure one disc, it's really hard not to have further degeneration because of, you know, the biomechanics of the spine. So you're sort of looking at nothing but increasing pain and increasing debilitation, and nobody could do anything about it. So that, you know, is problem number one. And then the hypoglycemia, certainly, that horrible dry skin, dry hair. I mean, I know lots of people who have gone bald, both men and women, who have lost their hair from being vegan.
I've never seen, and I know there's probably people in my audience going to be really angry about what I'm going to say, but I've never seen a vegan that looked healthy. And I'm sorry, they always look white, pale, pasty,
yeah, gray.
Weak.
Yeah, that gray
like
look.
They're running out of steam,
yeah.
Their hair is all dry and thin. They just don't look healthy. Okay, so what happened when you realized that if you were to live, other things had to die, and you had to become comfortable with that, and you transitioned away from the vegan lifestyle? Did you wrestle with it? Did you just jump in at both feet? How did you convince yourself?
There's one day that was the before and the after, and I was absolutely desperate in terms of my health. I also got an autoimmune disease. I have Hashimoto's, which certainly was from eating the soy. So between my spine and this just profound exhaustion, I mean, I could barely get off the couch. And I went to see a Qigong healer, who's a, you know, traditional Chinese medicine, form of medicine. And it's a form of medicine I have a lot of respect for. I've got a lot of good results from acupuncture. So I went to see this man, and, you know, he's elderly. He's been doing this his whole life. He was trained in China, and just an incredible human being, very compassionate, very spiritually based in his approach. And, I mean, he basically took one look at me and said, "You're going to die if you don't stop doing this." And it was one of those moments where I knew it was coming, but I hadn't been able to face it myself. Because I tell you, every single one of my friends had been through it already. I was like the last holdout in my social circle. Everybody else had already done this. They'd already made the transition back to eating meat and had seen their health improve dramatically, and I just couldn't do it. And I needed somebody, I think, who I gave him that kind of respect. You know, he was somebody in my life who, you know, I believed in what he was telling me, and it really had to be somebody with that kind of stature to get through to me. And when he said, you know, "You're going to die if you don't stop," I knew he was right. So I went home and I ate a bite of tuna fish, and it was dramatic. I mean, it was like being plugged into a wall socket. I mean,
really?
Yeah, and I'm not the only one who has this story, especially those of us who did it long term. That first bite of meat is like nothing you've ever eaten before. It's like you shake all over from head to foot, and you feel like you're coming back to life in about 30 seconds. It was unbelievable. So that's, you know, and it was really hard emotionally. I mean, I probably cried every day for about 6 weeks. It was like a very bad breakup. I mean, it was really hard. It was really hard on me, like body, mind, and soul. It was really hard. Because my whole world just had to turn over. You know, it was like, I have to find a new way, and I don't know who I'm going to be, and I don't know what it's going to look like. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. So when I get emails from people who are at that point in their lives, and I get them pretty much every day, I just try to hold out my hand and be compassionate. It's like, you can do this. I'll hold your hand, and you'll get through it. You'll be a new person in a year or two. And but it's not easy. It's a really hard transition for most of them. You do not give up being a vegan easily. Nobody gives that up easily.
So now you are an omnivore again, correct?
Yes. In fact, I'd say I'm pretty much a carnivore.
Okay, good. You know, and I'm assuming that as part of your journey, like many of us in this audience here, we adhere to an ancestral type diet.
Yes.
We like to focus on animals that have had natural lives, you know, cows that eat grass throughout their entire life, and chickens that get to eat worms and run around free, and so on and so forth. Do you also strive for that, or do you go for the CAFO beef and all that sort of stuff?
No, I only eat that kind of food if I'm desperate. Like if I'm traveling and haven't eaten for 24 hours, then I will eat whatever I have to. But my day-to-day life, I'm extremely scrupulous about my food, and I know the farmers that produce it. I've been to the farms. I get to know, you know, the whole setup before I buy food from them. So I have, you know, and I buy bison, I buy beef, I buy pork. I've got really great source of eggs and chicken. So I feel very lucky living in a rural area that I have access to the best kinds of farming practices, and they're building topsoil, and the farms look great, and everybody's happy. So, yeah, and it's not the easiest thing to do. You cannot buy this food in the grocery store. You know, you really have to go out of your way to find it. But to me, it's really important. Also, having the kinds of health conditions that I have, it's not really a choice. If I was to eat that kind of CAFO food, I'd be pretty sick pretty quickly.
Yeah, the inflammation would just knock you out.
Yeah,
so how have you, and since you've been eating a more omnivore, carnivore style, have any of these issues you've had in the past resolved themselves?
Some of them have completely resolved. Some of them I will have forever, but my spine has improved dramatically, which is not supposed to happen, but it's a miracle, really, to be able to have a more normal life. You know, after spending that last 5-6 years of being a vegan, I almost never got off the couch. The pain was so extreme. I was on morphine. I mean, it was horrible. It's a very, very constrained, small life. And to be able to do things like go to the movies or travel on an airplane or even just sit up for dinner with my friends for a few hours rather than having to be either lying on the couch or lying on the floor, it's just extraordinary. And I'm grateful every day that, you know, I found something that could help me. So that's one thing. Addressing the autoimmune issue, especially through eating a gluten-free diet, again, just knocks the pain down by about half.
Yeah. And these are anti-nutrients that we're going to talk about when we come out of the break. But, you know, those who adhere to the vegetarian diet, I want to get a little bit deeper into the whole notion that plants are there for us to prey on. But, you know, there are anti-nutrients in every plant out there, specifically to keep bugs and things from eating it. And when we eat them, maybe some of them are neutralized by cooking, but a lot of them aren't. And they, while they don't kill us the way they may kill a small bug, they definitely cause an inflammatory response that is something that people need to be aware of. It's just not a good thing. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to start to talk a little bit about fairness to plants because now we're going to really, really piss people off that are going to continue on the vegetarian approach, because you're killing things. You're killing babies, especially because of the way you handle the seeds in those things that you eat. So we're talking this hour with Lierre Keith, and the book is a great book, and you must read this book, if nothing else, to arm yourself with the knowledge so that when you get into a discussion with a vegetarian / vegan, you can rock their world a little bit with truth. The book is called The Vegetarian Myth. You can get it at LierreKeith.com, LierreKeith.com. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Some rides go fast, some rides go slow. You fear heights when I'm high, hell yeah, I go low. It tastes so sweet. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1, LONGR3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com. CanSee.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Boy, it's 2013. Time for new approaches to life. And one of those is always affected by the truth. When you hear the truth, it's like a bell. You cannot unring it. Once you hear it ring, it has already occurred. And the truth is that many of you out there who are eating a vegetarian diet, for moral reasons or health reasons, you're missing the boat. One of the things that I actually, Elisa Profumo, who co-hosts the Friday show with me, and I were having a discussion. This was probably about 2 or 3 months ago. And I was sitting there. We have beautiful lemon trees. And I said, you know, it's amazing. You know, plants are so smart. You know, in this case here with fruit, they surround their genetic material with things that will attract someone to eat them and then help them propagate by dropping those seeds somewhere else away from the plant. I thought, you know, it's just amazing. Nature is so smart. And so you raise the question in the book about, you know, people who talk about sustainability and, you know, this is there for me to use and I'm not hurting anything by doing this. You draw the line to seeds being like babies. And the idea that when you eat a cow, you're eating this one animal that probably would feed your family for a year if you buy a half a cow or a whole cow from your local farmer. But when you eat products like beans or whatever, you're eating hundreds and hundreds of these little babies, if you will. Look, let's expand on that. This notion that when we eat a piece of fruit, we throw the seeds away. In fact, we core the apple. We throw you use the apple as an example. Expand on this.
Well, you know, it's sort of back to that idea that I really believed in, that I was eating this diet in which there was no death. And that meant that I was really drawing a line, and I was saying, so animals count, and when they die, it matters, but plants, they don't count. They're not really alive, or they're not really sentient. And I think that was a line that I was always uncomfortable drawing. But when you're a vegetarian or a vegan, that is the line that you have to draw. And I went back and forth about this for years, sort of in my own sort of questioning and trying to figure out, you know, what I thought about the universe. And it was it was really hard because I wanted the whole world to be alive. I wanted to respect every living creature. But I also knew that I was making a choice to eat plants meant that, they were going to die. And so then I had to draw this line and say that, well, they don't count as much for whatever reason. And then I didn't like that because I was making a hierarchy where creatures like me counted. So animals are like me in a couple of really specific ways because, you know, we're animals too.
We have faces. We have faces. I like that analogy because that's true. I've heard people say that. If it has a mother or a face, I'm not going to eat it.
I won't eat it. Well, that just means they're like me in some ways that really matter. Plants care about their babies just as much as we do, actually. but, you know, they don't behave in ways that we behave. Therefore, I'm allowed to eat them. I'm allowed to kill them. And I was never comfortable with that line because I wanted everything to be sacred. I wanted all of life to matter and to have value on its own. So I walked that line back and forth over and over for 20 years, and I just could not settle on an answer that helped, that made any sense in terms of what I was choosing to do or not do. So at the end of the day, when I gave it all up, it was kind of a relief because it's like I don't actually have to have this, you know, what it felt like a contradiction at the heart of all of this, because suddenly it was like, well, actually everything is alive and none of it matters more than any of the rest of it. It is all sacred, and every living being does care about its life and does love its offspring, and I just need to eat to survive, so I'm going to do that in the best way that I can. And I'm not saying that animals are better than plants anymore. I'm saying that everything matters, and I need to participate in the best way possible. I'm not going to pretend that my life doesn't depend on death anymore. I'm going to do this in a good way now, and I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to be grateful, and I'm going to try to repair what's been destroyed, as a planet, as a bioregion, the best that I can. So plants are, in fact, very sentient. There are now scientists who call themselves plant neurologists because plants have a neurological system just like we do. Charles Darwin actually knew that. He said that the day would come when we would find the neurological activity just like a brain, like we have brains. We're going to find that in plants, and it will probably be in the roots, near the end of the roots, and he was exactly right. If you take not the very tip of the root, the part that's actually growing is not that part, but just above the root tip, the electrical activity in the roots matches exactly the electrical activity in the human brain. So they're thinking just like we are, and they're feeling, and they're making decisions. And plants do amazing things. Like where I live in the redwood forest, there are actually albino redwood trees. They're white. They cannot produce green. You know, it's a genetic problem,
right?
Just like with albino mice.
So
or whatever.
They don't have the ability to produce photosynthesis. In other words,
they
right?
can't photosynthesize. But they're not dead. And the reason they're not dead is because their neighbors keep them alive. They are in distress. They are being starved, and their neighbors, their other redwood trees, will send them nutrients through their roots, and that's what keeps them alive.
Yeah, you know what? My son was telling me about this. My son is involved in an agricultural process right now, and he was telling me that the root system of multiple trees and plants underground are all connected, and he said there's a name for it. He told me the name. I just don't remember it. But he also said if you take time-lapse photography of plants, you find out that they are awake in the daytime. They move. They actually move. But at night, they go to sleep. Their leaves will close up, and they'll actually slump almost like they're sleeping. He said, when you see this for yourself, you go, oh, my God, these plants are just like us. There's a locomotive period, but they don't get up and run. And then there's
right.
a sleeping period, and they actually sleep. And it's really amazing.
Yeah, and when they're little, when they're seedlings, they almost play tag with each other. The little seedlings, like, they bend around, and it's like they're playing games with each other. If you watch the same thing with the time-lapse photography, and it's play. That's how animals learn to be grown-ups, is they play. That's what baby humans do, and it's what baby plants do. They're playing with each other. So they help each other. If there's, like, an attack, a certain insect comes into the community and starts to, whatever, suck the sap out of, you know, various plants, they'll send out a distress call and an alarm to all the other plants in the neighborhood to say, get ready, it's coming. And then everybody gears up and starts producing the insecticide that's appropriate to ward that off. If a deer, for instance, you know, passes by a bush in the woods and, you know, disturbs the undergrowth, that plant will then send out what are called volatile organic compounds, VOCs. That's one of the ways plants communicate, is they send out these compounds, and then other plants can pick them up and read them. So they're sending each other little messages, like email or something.
Right.
So they'll send out the message saying, large animal coming through the forest, get ready. And then the other plants in the area will send out the compounds that stiffen their leaves and their branches so that they're ready for a large animal and can survive, you know, being being brushed up against by a bear or a deer or something. So they're always communicating with each other, and they'll send each other medicines when they need it. They'll send each other antibiotics for their root systems. They'll send each other nutrients. This is a community. The plants are, they work as a community. They all need each other, and they know how to function so that everybody gets what they need to the best of their all of their abilities.
Now, I can tell that there are people in the audience, they're going, oh, my God, so now I have to feel bad when I eat plants? No, but here's something that I want to mention. When I was a young man living in New York, I hunted a lot. I was out there for many, many different seasons, and I had the great opportunity to hunt with a guy who was a Native American Indian. And I was hunting with him one day, and we shot a deer, and he taught me about making medicine. So after we shot the deer, he knelt down next to the deer, and he said, you were a great deer, you had a good life, and now you'll provide nourishment for me and my family. And so he said these words, and it wasn't so much the words that he said that had magic, but it made me think that he respected the animal. So I'm not, for those of you out there going, oh my God, Carl, are we starting 2013 out there, we have to feel bad about eating lettuce now? No. But you know what? Maybe if we started to understand that food deserves respect because it's giving itself to us so that we can continue to live, maybe our eating habits will change too. Maybe part of the problem in this country is abundance leads to gluttony because you lose respect. The only reason why people can even choose to be vegans today is because of the overabundance of food. You think there were vegans in the 1800s when malnutrition was all the rage and not obesity? Of course not. And they had greater respect for the food because it was scarce.
Yeah, I don't think that the goal here is to make people feel bad. I mean, we are animals, we have animal bodies, and life is a gift. And our bodies are perfect. They were given to us as a gift so that we could experience this incredible, whatever you want to call it, the universe, the cosmos. It's an amazing thing to have a body. And we don't need to feel guilty about that. You know, we can put all of that aside. It's really just a terrible religious constriction that's been put on our psyches to feel bad about our bodies. And it's a wonderful thing to be alive, and we need to celebrate that. And part of that celebration is to come humbly to the table and to say thank you. That's all I'm asking. We have to say thank you. Whatever life we take, whatever life provides for our continuation on this planet, just say thank you, that's all. And if we can bring that kind of humbleness to our kitchen tables and our dining room tables, I think that's really the beginning of the new culture that we need to create, which is based on that respect for, you know, our planet and we get one sun, you know, and we have rainfall and we have this little bit of topsoil that is, you know, keeps the entire planet alive. And all of those processes, we are just one little tiny part of it. And we need to be in awe and we need to be humble and we need to be thankful so that we can behave correctly on this planet. We are so out of balance right now and we need to come back into balance with that humbleness. And, you know, you talk about your Native American friend, and I think that that's, you know, broad-based. It's you know, hard to make sort of, you know, global pronouncements about different cultures, but, you know, in my studies and in my friendships across with indigenous people, that is something that you find over and over, is that kind of humbleness. There's a respect for all life and this idea that, you know, as animals, we are dependent on all these other creatures. You know, we can't photosynthesize. We can't just go outside and stand in the sun and be nourished. We've got to take another life very directly. And that means that we need to do that well, and we need to be thankful for it. So I think that as a culture, we really need a lot of religions have that. You know, you're supposed to say grace before you eat.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. You know, it's the same idea. Like, be grateful for, you know, everything that's
for the life that's being given so that yours can continue, whether it be a plant-based life or whether it be this victimless crime of being a vegetarian. There are lives being given for you to eat those vegetables because there are animals that have been killed in the processing and growing of your vegetables. So if you think that by you not eating animals, you are saving animal lives, you're wrong. And you have to stop that myth now. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I have a question, actually, or a comment from a listener that I want to talk about and expand on. We're talking with Lierre Keith. This is a really must-read book. The work that went into this book will save you a lot of time when you want to have these discussions with friends and family members. The book is called The Vegetarian Myth. The website is LierreKeith.com, LierreKeith.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
design for shiny suits. Big up my
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce multivitamin patch banner ad today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Later in the show, we'll be joined by Lou Schuler as we talk about new rules of lifting, supercharged. Right now, we're talking with Liare Keith about her book, The Vegetarian Myth. Okay, so Scott Burbank messaged me on Facebook. He said he's heard of many people living on vegan diets for 20 to 30 years or longer and are in great health and have reversed heart disease and many other illnesses. It would be nice if I would have a long-term vegan expert on the show to have some balance. And I asked him, I said, who do you know that's been vegan for 20 or 30 years? I would love to have them on the show. And I'm being sincere. I mean, I have no dog in this fight. If people can be healthier and live longer as a result of altering their, maybe there's some people out there that truly would benefit from a vegetarian lifestyle. I don't know. Do you know, you have any information? I mean, I've talked about two really good studies that Lauren Cordain discussed on this show that showed that at best, vegans do not fare, or vegetarians do not fare any better than omnivores. And at worst, they develop a lot of various illnesses and so on. Is there an incident, in your humble opinion, where a vegetarian diet will benefit someone better?
No, and the studies that people like to use to back up the vegetarian claim, they use Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, I know.
Sort of the touchstone. And the thing about this is the problem with these kind of, broad-based population studies. The Seventh-day Adventists do about 25 things different than mainstream America. So how are you going to know which one it is? Sure, a lot of them don't eat meat. They also don't smoke. They don't drink.
Yeah.
They don't eat donuts. And they exercise a lot more. So right away, which of these variables is the one? You can't
And let's not forget, I stand to be corrected, but they're huge. Part of their religion is intermittent fasting, isn't it not? Don't they fast also?
Oh, I don't know about that. You could be right. There could be fasting, which I know can be really great for blood markers.
Great.
I mean, the people to compare them to, of course, are the Mormons, because Mormons also don't smoke and don't drink and don't eat a lot of junk food.
But they're omnivores.
But they're omnivores, and guess who lives longer? Well, it's the Mormons. So if you're going to use a Seventh-day Adventist, the people you got to compare them to is the Mormons. But overall, from the studies I've read, vegan women tend to die about 7 years before omnivorous women. So, and men, I think it's 3 or 4 years. So you're taking some years off your life if you decide to go vegan for a long period of time. It just doesn't meet the needs of the human template, nutritionally speaking. And as far as these people who, do it for 20 or 30 years, I think there are vegetarians who can stumble along for that amount of time and probably maybe be okay. I think they'd do better if they would actually eat, less grain and more meat, but as far as vegans go, no, they're lying. There's no way you can live that long as a vegan. They're
because vegetarians can use things like whey protein powder, or there's ovo, lacto-ovo vegetarians and vegans, so they're getting some animal protein. That's a totally different diet than a vegan.
Yeah, that's the vegan, and I can guarantee you, and I can tell you from experience, they are not eating a vegan diet 24 hours a day. There is cheating going on. It's the only way to survive. There's just too many nutritional holes in that diet. All cheated. We all did it. I mean, I was the most fanatic of everybody in my social circle, and there's just no way. You cheat.
How do they cheat? How do vegans generally cheat? Do they cheat with cookies, candy, and cake, or do they actually have some animal products from time to time?
In my case, it was usually cheese.
Yeah.
Or on occasion, eggs. That was the big thing. And then I would go for years without it. But, then the moment that I ate a bite, it was impossible to stop, And, of course, I was starved. And my brain was like, you're feeding me, thank God. And then I would obsess on it, and I couldn't stop thinking about cream cheese. And then I would eat another bite, the next day. And to me, that was a binge, eating a tablespoon of cream cheese. But it's huge when you're a vegan. I mean, you feel like, the biggest sinner in the world, and you're going straight to the pit of hell. And you can't figure out what's wrong. Why am I craving this food? The whole thing is just so overwhelming on every level. You feel like you're a traitor to the cause. You feel like you've betrayed everything that matters to you, those poor animals and that horrible factory farm. Why don't I care anymore?
Well, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot to be said for your state of mind while you're eating and what your body does with that food. If you are feeling, if you're guilt-ridden while you're eating a food product, your body treats it differently. Because of the addition of stress hormones and so on.
Right.
And so that's not going to help you if you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you're sneaking an egg here and there and you feel terrible about it. You feel like you've just, cursed about your mom behind her back or something like that. It's like that's not healthy either.
Well, and the only study that I've ever read about this, and there may be more out there, but they did actually ask vegans, do you cheat? How much do you cheat? What do you cheat on? And the answers came back once a week they were eating, and I'm not making this up, they were eating a hamburger once a week.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, if you're eating a hamburger once a week, you are not a vegan.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean, my friends, it was, like I said, it was dairy. It was what we cheated on. But burgers? I mean, that was just unthinkable. But that's what's going on behind the scenes. So when I say nobody's doing this 20 years long term, they're not. They're cheating. That's the only way they're surviving.
Have you been attacked in the media? I know this book has been out for a while. Have you been attacked in the media by groups like PETA and stuff like that, who, they all, and then plus there's a lot of high-profile vegan/vegetarian movements out there. Have they come out against you as a result of this book?
I don't know that PETA is aware of me. I've never seen anything about me from them. But, yes, there are people who hate me. There's no way around it. I get a lot of hate mail, a lot of death threats. I was assaulted once while I was speaking by vegans. They really have a hard time with information that challenges that fundamentalist mindset. And a lot of them are very fundamentalist.
Well, that's the sign of a zealot. A zealot doesn't care about talk.
I was raised by a librarian, so maybe I have a more extreme view on this, but to my mind, if you don't like a book, you just take it back to the library. I don't care. Don't read my book. I don't really understand this level of the vitriol and the hatred that's... I knew that they weren't going to like me. I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I mean, it's pretty horrible getting death threats. It's, you know, so that's just the new normal now for me.
This book is so good. I mean, it really is so good. And we didn't even get into the whole political side of the whole vegetarian movement, but I think the moral side is really what most people cite when they talk about. I had this conversation just yesterday with somebody here at the company, and she confided in me. She said, you know, I struggle with it myself. You know, I feel bad for animals. I love animals, and I struggle with, you know, I'm an omnivore, but I'm a resistant omnivore. You know, I feel bad about it. And I think most of us do. But you know what? When you start thinking about plants as being living things too, so what are you going to say? Where do you draw the line? Oh, it's okay to kill this group, but it's not okay to kill that group. You know, it's all death. In order for you to survive, death has to occur around you. That's it. Just respect those that are giving their lives, be they plants, be they animals, or whatever. I mean, you don't see people saying, hey, we don't want the army because they're going to kill people. No, they're there to protect you, right? Oh, that death is okay. Well, yeah, if they're going to stop an invasion, we need that. If they're going to stop another 911, we need that death. That death's okay. So where do you draw the line? It's like all death is death. Some of it is going to happen. Some of it has to happen. And people need to just get comfortable with that and stop this idiocy. So, you know.
Well, it's like I said, there's this two kinds of death. You know, there's the death that's that part of that cycle that keeps life going and that makes more abundance and more resilience across the whole web of life. And then there's the death that's destroying that piece by piece. And that's really the choice that we have to make. So I think for people who right now are considering a vegetarian diet or have already adopted it, I mean, I would say that, I have nothing but respect for the compassion that is clearly motivating you. I mean, you're somebody who really cares about this planet and really cares about the downtrodden and the voiceless, and that is nothing but commendable, and we need more people like that. But what I would urge is that you broaden your perspective a little bit and keep searching for the information. Because, you know, if you're already willing to question the mainstream enough to say, I'll be a vegetarian, then that's great. That means that you've got a backbone and, you know, you've got some intelligence and you have that compassionate heart. Don't close down now and stay with the answers that you've already found, because the truth is that there's a lot more information out there, and it may change your mind about what you're doing. You don't have to change your values. You don't have to change who you are. But there's bigger information, and you may make different decisions once you've engaged with that bigger information. So don't shut down into fundamentalism is really the take-home point.
Great, great book. Everybody should get it, The Vegetarian Myth. Go to LierreKeith.com, LierreKeith.com. Thank you so much, Lierre.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for all your work. You do a great show.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. All right, have a great day.
All right, bye.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Lou Schuler on, and now the discussion changes to lifting, a especially important component of the longevity equation. We'll be right back.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia.
nothing else. Go to WeighNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. As I've said time and time again, and many of you already know this, but we have a lot of new listeners. The year is new. We have lots of people that just found the show. Resistance training is absolutely an important part of the longevity equation, the longevity prescription. And this is especially true for women because women outlive men. And the reason that most women are institutionalized is because they lose the ability to be ambulatory. And that can all be pushed away by focusing on the kind of resistance training that builds strength and muscle, something that's counterintuitive for women. I mean, just this morning I was watching some TV show with some, I'm sorry to say it, some really, really skinny girl bouncing up and down on a trampoline telling women that they shouldn't lift more than 2 or 3 pound weights. And I wanted to run my head into the TV set because I was so upset by this, this notion that women should not be strong. And this is a notion that is completely a result of our current society, because back in the day in the 1700s, women worked very hard and were very strong and they lived long and they didn't have to get institutionalized at the end of their lives. So the women really need to pay attention to this discussion. With talking now with Lou Schuler. How you doing, Lou?
Good, Carl. How are you?
Fantastic. The book is The New Rules of Lifting, Supercharged. Now, so basically, we did an interview on the original book, right?
We did an interview. I can't remember which book because this is the fifth in the series, and if I did my job, it should be the best.
Okay. Tell us what's different about this book. Why should people run out and get this book right now?
Well, if you've never read any of the four previous books in the New Rules of Lifting series, which include the original book, the New Rules for Women, New Rules for Abs, which was a core training book, and then New Rules for Life, which is the one that was for older lifters like me, and, you know, people who are dealing with injuries or weight issues or whatever it is. So this is, if you have no idea who I am, have never heard of me or the books, this is the one to get because it sums up everything we've done and it sort of reboots the whole franchise with all of the, with all the features we added in as the series went on. If you've read several of the other books, then this one is the most updated workouts for my co-author, Alan Cosgrove, and it has more exercises, more information, more workouts, more of everything than any other book we've done in the series. In fact, it has more exercises photographed and described than the first two New Rules books combined. So,
wow.
There's a ton of stuff in there, and if you like to lift, this is really a book that I hope you'll check out because it's really a book that's written for, by and for lifters, but by no means is it unfriendly to people who don't yet know what they're doing. We set it up so that if somebody's willing to read carefully and understand how the program works, it should work for anybody, no matter what their level of experience, either gender, all ages. It's really about the most complete strength training book we could write.
Okay, now you heard my little introduction, and I've said this so often on the show, because we have, interestingly enough, a huge influx of women who are starting to listen to the show, and these are basically uninitiated women. They many of them are starting to look for answers to longevity and health, and they don't understand what resistance training can do for you. And we want them, this book, to appeal to them as well. Now, I'm looking at the book. I've looked at it over the weekend as well. It's a fantastic book. It's very descriptive. It has pictures of every exercise that you describe, well-detailed instruction. Can the average person who's not, has not worked with a personal trainer yet, pick this book up and start with this book as opposed to a personal trainer, do you think?
Absolutely. We set it up so that rather than saying to somebody, like we did with our first three books, we would just say, okay, here, do this exercise, then this exercise, then this exercise. And what we've done for this book and the previous book, New Rules for Life, is we set it up so that we tell readers what type of exercise to do and when to do it, but then they choose their own version, their own level of that exercise from a menu. And like I said, you do have to read the book. You can't just open it up to any random page and know exactly what to do. So you do have to read the book, which by the way, and I mention that because it throws off people. I mean, even friends of mine and relatives will say, yeah, I love your books, but I got to confess I've never actually read them.
Really?
And you think, well, how could that be? But, you know, people will pick it up and they'll flip around and go, oh, there's an exercise. I think I'll try that. But to understand the system and how it's supposed to work, which is and it is a system, you know, I'm happy or sorry to say that you actually do have to read the book. For some people, that's like a no, they'll start on page one, they'll read till they get to the end. Other people, they just want to open it up and, you know, see everything on one page and say, okay, that's what I'm supposed
improvise.
To do.
What, and, give me an idea and give the listeners an idea of the system, because perhaps that will, help shed light into the uniqueness of this book, because it is unique.
Okay, well, this is, you know, you and I have both been lifting for a long time. So when we started off, what we thought we were supposed to do was do a specific exercise for every muscle that we cared about. And then, of course, you know, so I started when I was 13, and a 13-year-old boy is going to work on, you know, his abs, his chest, and his biceps, right?
I know.
And didn't really understand that there was like this, you know, these things called legs that you had to exercise,
and
that there was,
and back,
you know,
muscles.
These muscles on the back of your body.
Right.
So my learning process was, you know, first, okay, you have to work all the muscles, and then you have to do this in like a systematic way so that, you know, if you're really serious, you don't train all the muscles every day. You train half of them this day or one third of them this day. So for like 20 years, probably longer than that, all I thought was, I've got to make sure I work all my muscles, and I'll do double the work for whichever muscles I care most about. What we did in this book is really part of a paradigm change that I started seeing right around 2000. I'm sure it existed before that, which is that you focus on movement patterns. What's a human body supposed to do? Well, you know, you should be able to bend over and pick something up off the ground. You should be able to push something away. You should be able to pull something toward you or pull your body toward something. You should be able to jump and sprint and, you know, and so what we did was we looked at all the things that a human body is supposed to do. And all these things, by their nature, involve multiple groups of muscles,
right,
usually in some way your entire body. So you've got, you know, your arm muscles are supporting your back and chest and shoulder muscles, and your core muscles are supporting, you know, are providing the foundation for that. So really we began to look at this as every exercise is a total body exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it like that, and you look at it in terms of which movement patterns does a body need to be able to do, well then it's easy to categorize exercises according to the ones that improve your ability in that movement pattern, and at the same time to eliminate the exercises that don't support any natural human movement. So in our books, you're not going to find a lot of exercises for single muscle groups, like, you know, here's one for your forearms, here's one for your calves. The idea is, here are exercises that work all the important movement patterns, which we narrow down to like 6 movement patterns, and then we have a separate categories for other things like core training. But to keep it simple, there's like 6 basic movement patterns, and everything is based on that.
And you know what I really find interesting is that there's no sit-ups in this book, no traditional crunches in this book. You're focusing on training people's core, their abdominal muscles as part of that column of core muscles that's responsible for being erect.
That's absolutely right. And I had no idea. I always, even going back to probably 2001, 2002, I thought that if you've got a muscle, the way you build it is by squeezing it.
Right.
So if you've contracting it. If you want to build your pectoral muscles, you do a push-up or a bench press. You want to build your biceps, you do a bicep curl straightforward. And of course, this is why gyms have all these machines, because people can actually feel the muscles being squeezed, and they think, okay, so now I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm isolating and squeezing each muscle, and then I move on to the next machine, and I isolate and squeeze that. And I thought, well, for the core muscles, that must be exactly the same. And then I began to, I heard a lecture at a fitness conference by a researcher named Stuart McGill, whose researches spine injuries. And what he found in his lab was that if you do exercises that curl your body forward, what we call spinal flexion, I say we, like this is me, what right, scientists call spinal flexion, over time will damage the discs in your spine.
And it makes
because
perfect
your lower
sense.
Back has such a small range of motion.
Right, and it makes perfect sense, because when you think about what the primary job of the abdominal muscles are, they're not to crunch you up off the ground. They're to keep your spine from hyperextending backwards. And so when you do a crunch, you're actually using the abdominal muscles in a fashion that they really aren't the primary goal of the abdominal muscles. In fact, the abdominal muscles' primary goal is to keep the spine straight. And so applying force on it like a plank, or even I love those little inchworm wheels, you know, where you roll out and roll back in. By applying force on the abdominal muscles while it's in a flat plane is really a better alternative to getting a flat stomach.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other one are the twisting movements. And, you know, again, I came up, and you still see people in gyms doing this. They'll put a barbell on their shoulders,
and they'll
stand up or sit down, and they'll twist to their left and right. Like, that's doing something.
Freaks me
out.
Well,
first off,
that freaks me out, because your discs have 50% of their strength when you are turning side to side, as opposed to 100% of their strength when you're facing forward. So you're basically loading your spine and then putting your discs in the most compromised position to get squashed.
Oh, yeah, and for one thing, your spinal discs have hardly any range of motion. It's just like 4 or 5 degrees forward and backward, and, you know, several degrees of twisting. I mean, they're big, thick hunks of you know, really complex bones and nerves and other tissues. And when we're talking about the lumbar spine, they just aren't designed to twist. So when it comes to twisting movements, you need to train your shoulders to be able to twist through the thoracic spine, right? Your like upper back. And you need for hip mobility so that your lower back doesn't need to twist. And so when I see people in a gym trying to twist the lower back, I just think, wow, man, you know, that may make sense to you now that you're young, but when you get to be my age and you're dealing with all the damage you're creating, you're going to really regret that.
Oh, you know what? The number one way to hurt your back is to lift something to your left that's on your left side or your right side, lift it, and then turn forward with it. I mean, it's a terrible thing. A chiropractor taught me a long time ago that the discs only have 50% of their tensile strength when the spine is not facing forward. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up with Lou Schuler. The website is thenewrulesoflifting.com. Go check it out. It's a great book. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Lou Schuler. The book is The New Rules of Lifting Supercharged. You can get it at thenewrulesoflifting.com. Lou, you talk about a term that I've never heard before. And then when I started reading the book, I was like, oh, I do these things. You talk about the hinge and dead and movements like the deadlift focusing on the hinge. Talk about this a little bit.
Well, yeah, the my co-author, Alan Cosgrove, calls it the bend movement pattern. I have always preferred I think if you say bend, it almost implies that you're bending forward.
Yeah. Your upper body is coming down. And that's why I like this term, because the hinge moves both sides equidistantly across a plane. So they're both opening or they're both closing. And I like that idea with your hips being the fulcrum point, right?
That's right. It's one of our six basic movement patterns. And I guess it's a little bit easier for people who have some experience in the weight room to just say, oh, you're just talking about deadlifts, right? You're talking about picking up something off the ground. But the reason we like to call it hinge is it reinforces that these are your hip muscles that are doing this. These are your glutes and your hamstrings, and your core muscles are acting in support, especially your lower back muscles, which have to work really hard if you're picking up something heavy off the ground. But they're not supposed to be moving. They're supposed to be holding that stable position. The way that I personalize this is, I have a story, and this gets back to what you were talking about at the very beginning of the show about women afraid to lift heavy weights. I remember one time I was at the gym, and a young woman asked me to pull a 45-pound plate. I'd left it on the bar, and she said, could you please take that off the bar for me? I can't lift that much weight. So I took it off the bar, and I remember thinking, she babysits my son. It was a woman I knew. She babysits my son, and my son weighs like probably weighed like 45 pounds at that time. And I thought, if he fell down, wouldn't she try to pick him up?
Right.
But somehow, seeing 45 pounds of iron, that looks like, oh my, I can't do that. So we have this idea, so women, they'll go toward, what I call the Barbie weights, the candy-colored weights, and some of these weights aren't even as heavy as their purse. A gallon of milk is like 5 pounds, and no woman would ever think, I'm not supposed to pick up a gallon of milk, but sometimes she'll look at that 5-pound weight and think, okay, I'm not supposed to lift that, because that skinny woman on the trampoline that I saw on TV said, don't lift that.
Yeah, right.
So what could be more fundamental than picking up something heavy off the ground? Every parent, male, female, grandparents, even older siblings, at some point, you have to pick up a sleeping kid off the ground, or you have to pick up a bag of dog food off the ground, or maybe the dog off the ground if he sleeps soundly. Whatever it is, you have to pick up something off the ground, and it's going to be heavier than a gallon of milk. So the most fundamental thing you have to do is you have to be able to stabilize your lower back while you do that. And then you have to be able to use your body's strongest muscles, which are your glutes and hamstrings. So once you get that movement pattern down, that hinge movement pattern, you should be able to lift really heavy things off the ground. Most people will be able to lift more than their body weight after they've been training for a couple of years, because those muscles are really strong and they get even stronger with training. But at the same time, it's one of the things that's the scariest to people who haven't lifted before.
Right. Well, and the thing that I like about the term hinge is it implies that the hips being the fulcrum point, the upper legs and, let's say, the chest, for lack of better terms, are moving away from each other at the same rate of speed, which when you see some people deadlift, that's not the case. Some people, when they deadlift, their legs straighten out first. Their back actually comes down in order to let their legs straighten out some, and then they pull just with their lower back. That's not how a hinge functions. A hinge would be their legs and their chest moving away from the center point, at their closest point, at the same rate of speed, right?
Well, it depends, actually. I think it depends on limb length, because what the working muscles, the gluteals and hamstrings, do is they straighten your hip joint when it's bent. So how fast your upper legs move really more depends on how fast you straighten your knees. If somebody has like fairly short legs, leg bones, then their chest is going to move away much faster. Mm-hmm. If somebody has really long legs, then it may be the opposite, that their knees are going to straighten faster than their hips straighten. But really, it's a movement that your body tells you how to coordinate, as long as you keep your lower back in that safe, stable, neutral position, and focus on using your glutes and your hamstrings rather than putting all the load on your lower back.
What is there any time that one person or another person should turn to the sumo deadlift versus the conventional deadlift?
Well, I started doing it because I had knee injuries, and the regular deadlift was really painful because I couldn't bend my knees that much.
Mm.
So that's why I started going to the sumo style. It really depends on what you're comfortable with. A lot of people, you know, the sumo style where your legs are really wide, you're going to start with less knee bend, and also your torso is going to be more upright. So if somebody has had, trouble keeping their lower back in a good straight position, a lot of times they'll find the sumo style easier because you start more upright.
Yeah.
I never wanted to do the sumo style until I realized that, the less I bent my knees, the better I felt. So that's why I went to that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? There's emerging research out there that shows that the number of people who die as a result of falling and not being able to get up off the floor is an astonishing number. And we're talking about people just in their 60s and above. We're not talking about 80 and 90-year-old people who are, you know, ready for an institution. People are 60 years old and above who fall and can't get up off the floor because they've lost their strength and dexterity. And they've also lost the muscle memory of being able to do certain things like get their legs underneath them from the side and so on and so forth. And you're talking about training in a way that is complementary to the human form, if you will. So you want to speak about this a little bit, the notion of getting down on the, because I see a lot of the movements that you talk about in the book also, people have to get down on the floor and then they have to get back up, like the planks and so on and so forth.
Oh, sure. Well, I think the study you're talking about, I think it was, I want to say it was Spanish researchers.
Yes.
And what they did was, traditionally the way that, you know, you do, when researchers would look at people and try to predict, you know, try to come up with a fitness quality that best predicted longevity, that if so, they would usually do, well, how fast can they get up out of a chair? Or they would look at gait speed, how fast can they walk, or they would just look at strength, or they would try to measure cardiovascular endurance, and they would follow people over time to see who died and who didn't. And what these researchers did was, they didn't have the equipment, or they couldn't afford the equipment, or their equipment wasn't working or something. So they came up with this really simple test where they had people stand up, get down on the floor however they could, and then get back up again however they could. And if you got a perfect score if you could lower your body to the floor without using your hands. If you could just stand and lower yourself down without balancing yourself on your hands, that's a perfect score. And then if you could get back up again without using your hands, that also was a perfect score. And so, of course, it probably, like you, as soon as I read that, I'm in my office, and I'm just, like, practicing getting up and down on the floor. I could get down without using my hands, so I got a perfect 5 on that. And I could not get back up again without having one hand on the floor. So I only got a 4 on that, on getting back up. But still, if you have a 5 in one area and a 4 in the other, your total score is 9. And the people who have, I forget what the number was, but 9 is not a danger zone. 9 people who score 9 live the longest.
Right.
And, you know, and it's the people who need, like, you know, both hands on the floor and they have to roll over and twist to the side before they can get back up again. Those are the ones who, this test.
Our greatest threat. Yeah.
They're at the greatest risk, right.
Yeah.
So what is, as you said, what this tests is your basic functional ability. Can you, if you can't do something simple like get up and down off the floor without going through all these contortions and using basically all your body's strength to do both movements, then yeah, you really are weaker than you should be. And fortunately there's, you know, we have lots of ways for people to get stronger. Of course they have to
work at it.
They all require exercise.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Nobody wants to do that. That's the hard part, getting them to exercise. And that's obviously, right now there's, a lot of people making commitments that hopefully after March they'll continue with their commitments. We're talking with
Yeah.
Lou Schuler, The book is The New Rules of Lifting Supercharged. I want to talk about the supercharged part when we come back. The website is thenewrulesoflifting.com. Go there, check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Calling all men.
The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top selling products: Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Mr. Bombastic.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Lou Schuler. He and Alwyn Cosgrove, who has also been a guest on the show in the past, have produced a great book for those of you who are looking for new answers or just a starting point. It's called The New Rules of Lifting Supercharged. I noticed that in some of the exercises, you give details of the exercise, and then you discuss how to supercharge the exercise, right?
Yeah, and that was, in the past, I think maybe, you know, a sentence or two of, well, you could make it an even better exercise for this, but this time I thought, as long as we're going to call the book Supercharged, maybe play off that if we're describing an advanced version of an exercise or something that makes the exercise a little bit harder. You know, with exercise, you've really got, I think you could almost, you know, put all exercises into two categories. There's the ones where you get better by adding more weight to the bar, so that, you know, so that you're putting more direct, stress on your muscles and bones and connective tissues so that those things all grow and get stronger. Or there's exercises where you advance by making them, more difficult, which is a different type of stress you put on your body, and it's much more conducive to either, improving your balance and coordination or to simply burning more calories, because something that's harder for your body to do that involves more muscles in balancing and everything like that, you're going to get your heart rate's going to go up higher, your stress hormones are going to fire off, but they're going to fire in a good way, so that because it's harder, you end up burning more calories and it's better for overall body composition, your ratio of fat to muscle. So, you know, there's different ways to improve in things, and usually when we talk about supercharging and exercise, it's the latter type where we're saying, here's a way to make this more challenging, which means that if your main focus is weight loss or fat loss, this will help you do that. This will help you burn more calories.
What do you think is the most unique thing about this book that people will find when they start reading it? I mean, there's a lot of books out there on training today, right?
A lot of competition, I should say.
Yeah. But I mean, what is it about this book that people will get that they won't get anywhere else?
What I think they will get is a system that is both organized so that it tells you exactly what to do next, so that you're never guessing, okay, now I'm done with this, how do I do something that's even better? Well, we've got 10 complete programs in there, and in each program we tell you not only how to improve within the program, but how to step up to the next program so that you continue to develop your strength and your muscle mass and your endurance and the fat loss benefits of the exercise. So in that sense, it's a very straightforward program, but then it's also completely customizable, which means that you're choosing your own exercises and you're also choosing your own progress to the system. So it's not like, okay, well, you've been doing this for 3 or 4 weeks, now you're going to go do something else. It's you decide for yourself when you're ready to move up to the next program, then you move up to the next program, you decide for yourself when it's time to select new exercises, then you select new exercises. You can go back and repeat certain programs, or you can move on to the next program in the sequence. So what we've done is we've made it both systematic, so you don't have to guess at what you're supposed to be doing, and at the same time, we've made it flexible, so if you can't do one exercise, well, here's another one that, you know, we show you. This one's more difficult, this one's equivalent, this one's less difficult. In some cases, we say, if you have bad knees, or if you have back problems, or shoulder problems, don't do this, try this one. So we tried to be as complete as possible, and at the same time as flexible as possible, which is why early in the show I said, it's really a book you have to read. It's not one that, you know, you pick it up on page 42 and say, oh, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm just looking for this one exercise. That's it. Are there any exercises that people will find in here that they won't find anywhere else? I've seen that one around the gym now, and I don't know who first started to propagate this, where you do a push-up on dumbbells. So you do a push-up, and then at the top of the push-up, you take one hand and swing it out and over, so you're kind of twisting so that you're almost like in a cross position with one hand planted on the ground and the other hand up in the air with the dumbbell. And you come down, you do a push-up, and you do the opposite side. You know what movement I'm talking about?
Right. We call it a T push-up. I've heard it called other things. But actually, that exercise has been in all 5 books now.
I know. I was going to say, I only ever saw it in one of your books. I'm wondering if you started that whole thing.
No, you know, Alan will be the first one to tell you that he didn't invent, as far as I know, he didn't invent any of these exercises in the book. And we're very explicit about that we didn't invent the principles of training. Alan finds unique ways to put things together, and he's constantly experimenting to see if, you know, is it better to do this before this? Is it better to do this instead of this? So Alan's running a continual controlled experiment. He told me the other day that there's a total of, with all his clients at Results Fitness in Santa Clarita, California, They've got 1,200 workouts a week that they put into a database, looking at the results that people get. They monitor their heart rate, they monitor their strength, they monitor their weight and their waist measurements. So they're constantly monitoring to see what works better than anything else. But Alan will be the first to tell you that he's not somebody who gets into a gym and invents new exercises. There's people who do that, and we love those people, but we're not them.
Okay. All right. You know, it's funny. Elisa just messaged me. She says, I just did the test. I can sit and stand up with no hands. Yay.
Elisa, if Elisa's listening, she's a perfect 10.
There you
go. That's a perfect score. You get
actually,
five on each.
Actually, you're right. She is a perfect 10, but not just because she can sit and stand without hands. So there you go.
I'm just working with the evidence I have.
No. Elisa co-hosts the Friday show with me. And so the audience.
I figured it was somebody like that.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, that's, you know, and I'm compelled to try it. Maybe during the next commercial break, I'll try it. Although I'm wearing, because we got some snow here in Louisville, I'm wearing some really heavy, Caterpillar steel toe boots, and they're not the most flexible at the ankle. So I don't know if that'll give me the advantage or take it away from me. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the interview. We're talking with Lou Schuler. The book is The New Rules of Lifting Supercharged, and you can get it at the website, thenewrulesoflifting.com, where you can get all the new rules of lifting. Also one that was co-authored by a friend of the show and Lou, and that is Dr. Cassandra Forsythe-Brabanek, which is The New Rules of Lifting for Women. Lift like a man, look like a goddess. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce banner ad today. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition,
competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking this hour with Lou Schuler. He and Alwyn Cosgrove have authored the New Rules of Lifting Supercharged. 10 all-new muscle-building programs for men and women right here in one book. You know what? Buy this book and invite your wife or your significant other to start training with you because you can do a lot of this stuff at home. You don't need a gym to do this stuff, do you, Lou?
No, you absolutely don't. Especially, you know, the less experience you have with strength training, the more of this stuff you could do at home. There's a lot of body weight exercises you can do. As you get stronger and more advanced in the exercises, you know, you are going to need a barbell and dumbbells and something that lifts the bar off the ground so you could do squats. But until you get to that point, you can actually do this with pretty minimal equipment.
Or you can go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Block dumbbell ad. They've got a special over at Power Block right now, one of our sponsors, and they've got a 2013.
Well, you know, I mentioned Power Blocks in every book I write, and I don't just say this because they're your advertiser, but I think that's like, you know, you can get a complete set of dumbbells that would work for most people with, you know, it takes up, what, the space of a coffee table, right?
Oh, it's heavier than a coffee table, they're great. There's nothing like them. They have the smallest footprint of any of the quick-change dumbbells out there, and they also adapt faster. I mean, the getting the weight set from 5 to 50 pounds in increments of 5 pounds is so fast. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I started off lifting, I was 13 years old and had an old weight set from Sears, the dumbbells, you know, you had the dumbbell handles and you would put the weight plates on them and you had to screw them on and off. So, you know, there was no such thing as quickly changing weights back then.
No, you're right. The collar at the end screwed on. You're right. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. But anyway, so how long has the book been out?
Came out December 27th. So, I think that was a week from tomorrow. So like 6 days.
You also have, And I don't know if this is the right term for them, VPX or those bands that suspend. You can use your own body weight to do a variety of different movements, suspend your feet and so on, right?
The TRX.
You don't
need a TRX. There's lots of other models out there. We like to use the TRX just because, you know, that's the one we have the most experience with, and we find it overall the easiest to use, but there are certainly other options out there.
Now, I noticed that...
The generic is suspension trainers is what they call it.
And just get all your belts from the house and just loop them together. You can make this yourself. Hang it over a door frame.
Yeah.
There you go. Just get all your belts.
Let's not recommend that.
You know what? When I was fat, I could have used one belt to do one side, one leg. Okay, so talk about metabolic training. You talk about these different things that you do at the end of the workout. Why is metabolic training even important?
We started off earlier in the interview talking about life and death issues, you know, and we know from research that when we're talking about fitness qualities, things you can train, that strength is really important. The strongest people live the longest, and also there's a baseline level of cardiovascular endurance. So this is why the first thing that we learned was that you need a certain amount of cardiovascular endurance, you know, for heart health, prevent heart attacks, and live longer. And so everyone said, well, then you need to do cardio. And the way that they said to do cardio was you got out and you ran. You went a long distance at a steady pace at a consistent heart rate. Well, what we subsequently learned, but most people out there don't yet know, is that, no, it's not really the length of time that you can spend at one heart rate. It's how fast you can get up to your highest heart rate, and then how fast you can recover from that.
Recover, right.
So what really determines cardiovascular fitness is your heart rate flexibility. Can you get up fast? Can you recover fast? Those are the things that are linked to both longevity and a lower risk of cardiovascular events. So that's what metabolic training is. It's what some would call interval training. You're getting your heart rate up, you're bringing it down. You're getting your heart rate up, you're bringing it down. It's also, as it turns out, a very efficient way to not only train your cardiovascular system, but to burn fat. So that's why we have it in the book.
Yeah, and it makes a difference. And this is something that a lot of my powerlifting friends probably don't really pay attention to. You know, raw strength is the only thing that they're interested in acquiring. But the reality is that metabolic conditioning, and actually, I think metabolic conditioning, I think that metabolic flexibility, I think it was called. I had Mike T. Nelson on the show several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about metabolic flexibility, I believe it was. I'm trying to think if that was the right term that he used.
Yep, that's exactly it. And when Mike talks about metabolic flexibility, he's talking about your body's ability to use different fuel sources. So one problem that people get into with obesity and with lack of exercise is that their bodies are always burning. Their blood sugar, their glucose levels are consistently elevated, so their body is constantly burning a higher percentage of carbohydrate calories, this glucose, the blood sugar, rather than the fat, and so they never end up burning off any of the stored fat that they have. So metabolic flexibility is you use carbohydrate as a source of energy, you use blood sugar, or you use glycogen, which when that's appropriate, when you're exercising at a high intensity, and you use fat as your predominant fuel source in other times, especially when you're, you know, just sitting around doing nothing, you want your body to burn more fat than carbohydrate. So that's what metabolic flexibility is. And again, that's something that's enhanced as you improve your conditioning.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and metabolic training can help you with that, obviously.
Right, obviously, and then of course, you know, you're also getting into dietary issues where you're trying to cut back on the carbohydrates in your diet, emphasize more protein and fat. You know, I mean, really, the more we look at research, the more we realize that protein's really the secret to everything.
Yeah.
You know, if every meal has a certain amount of protein in it, and you're emphasizing that, you're automatically going to eat less of everything else. It just seems to be something that is true of every omnivorous species out there, that all of us animals crave a certain amount of protein, and if we don't get it, we'll just keep eating until we do get it, or at least we'll stay hungry until we get
well,
it.
Well, when you think about when you think about
protein and you stop being hungry.
When you think about people who binge eat, right? What do they binge eat on? They binge eat potato chips. They binge eat cookies. They binge eat pasta. They eat, people when they eat beef, right? You don't see anybody binge eating steak. You don't see somebody sit down and eat a New York steak, a strip steak, right? And then 20 minutes later go, man, I want another one, and then fry up another New York strip. People don't binge eat high protein, high fat foods. They binge eat these carbohydrates because a lot of these carbohydrates have drug like effects on the brain.
Well, and it's even more insidious than that. The food processing companies, the food manufacturers, have figured out what the tobacco industry learned long ago, which is that there are ways to manipulate food so that when people eat, not only is their appetite not satisfied, they actually get hungrier for that food.
It's amplified.
Because they've taken all the protein out of it, they've taken all the fiber out of it, and they've put in a mix of sugar, salt, and fat that makes people hungrier, which is exactly the opposite of what you want to happen when you're eating something.
Yeah, yeah. Important stuff. Lou Schuler, it's a great book. I have a lot of respect for you. I have a lot of respect for Alan Cosgrove. Alan and I did a great show when personal trainers attack. You remember that show when animals attack that they used to have on cable where like people were getting
hit?
So, you know, I was in the gym one day and I was watching a personal trainer destroy a person. And hurt them. And I thought, you know, so many of these personal trainers really do harm. And so Alan and I did a show probably about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when personal trainers attack. And, you know, we talked about how do you break away from your personal trainer? Because it's almost like that episode of Seinfeld when he found out that he was getting his hair cut at a different barber. He felt like he was cheating on his barber. Well, it's hard for people to say to their personal trainer, you know, I don't think you are doing a good job for me. and I'm going to go find somebody else because they feel like you're hurting their feelings or something like that. So we did a great episode about that. It was very, very funny.
Yeah, well, that sounds like Alan. He's, and of course I don't mean to imply that all personal trainers are what you just described. I really hope that that's a minority and that the majority are out there actually teaching people, how to do things right and actually paying attention to their clients so that they're not giving them movements that are going to make them worse instead of
personal,
better.
Personal trainers are just like doctors and they're just like mechanics and you can get good ones and bad ones and you have to understand that it's your obligation to make sure that you have a good one before letting them take over this very important task of training you. And so there are great personal trainers out there. There are great ones out there.
Right. Yeah, and no matter how much you like the person who's training you, you do have to keep your eyes open and you do have to maintain a level of skepticism and also an understanding that this is somebody you're hiring. This is not somebody who hired you. So, if you hire somebody and they don't deliver, or if they deliver something that's worse than nothing, then you certainly have to fire that person and, find somebody else who will do what you need.
Or if you really like them, buy them a copy of The New Rules of Lifting Supercharged and tell them, now look, Lou Shuler said, you go home and read this and I'll call you in a month and we'll try this again and we'll see if you learned anything. But don't cheat. Don't just open up the book to an exercise. Read the whole book.
Well, I like that plan, except make sure that you tell them that Alan Cosgrove said it, because most personal trainers aren't going to pay attention to me, but they'll listen to Alan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. Listen, Lou, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thanks, Carl. It's my pleasure.
And the website is thenewrulesoflifting.com. Go there. Check out the book. It's fantastic. We also want to thank Lierre Keith for coming on and talking about the vegetarian myth. Go to her website, Lierre, L-I-E-R-R-E, Keith.com, K-E-I-T-H. Tomorrow's Thursday, roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy acquisition with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. And, of course, the Subversity Science Roundup with the brilliant Adele Musa. We'll see you tomorrow.
Superheroes, this is the Superhuman Channel.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.